We are back here on Wildcat Insider. John Kurtz and Wyatt Thompson. Brenna Mintz in for Mitch Fortner. 20 more minutes with you. 537-1350, 866-776-1350. If you have a phone call, you can also tweet us at the Game KMAN with questions or comments. So we don't have too much time because of the K-State women. They tip off at 5:30 against Stanford. Spot on the suite in the Sweet 16 is on the line. I was a bit surprised by this to hear about more coaching news on the K-State football staff. We've already seen Colin Klein coming in, Del Miller stepping aside and retiring, and now after it had been so long with no movement on the coaching staff at all, we find out that Mike Cox is going to move from K-State. Said that he plans on spending more time with his family, so K-State's linebackers coach since 2012 will not return to the coaching staff. That was the wording used in the press release from K-State. So first and foremost, it's just been an eventful offseason. And then number two, now you got to move on and go find another coach here for your linebacker, somebody on the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah, and it's an area, as we all know, going into spring ball next week, it's an area where K-State has to replace some pretty darn talented playmakers. You know, you lose Elijah Lee, who declared early. He will be certainly missed. Jermichael Moore played terrific football as a starter over the last couple of years. So there is some rebuild to do there. And so one thing I've always appreciated about Coach Snyder, there are many things, but one of the things is that there's just rarely much turnover in his staff. You know, you've got one guy that decides, okay, I've had a great run. It's time. Need to step away. In Del Miller, and Del had a very, very fine career here, I think, and throughout the entirety of his career. And in this one, I have to say I was a little bit surprised by it just because it doesn't happen very often. I think Coach Cox in his time here has done a really nice job. I mean, you look at some of the guys that K-State has had, they're just pretty rock solid there. So this will be a challenge to fill that. Not that they won't do it, because they will. But it's always a challenge to try to go out there and get the next guy.
Yes, that's part of it, trying to think of logical candidates. I mean, I know Trey Walker has been on staff. I really have no idea to know if that's a position that he's ready for at this point in time or not. Outside of that, I don't know if there's a ton of real obvious logical candidates that come to mind. It'll be very interesting to see which way they go with this.
Yeah, I wouldn't even want to speculate there, really, because unless you're really close to it and on the inside on a daily basis, we really probably don't know if Trey would be a legitimate candidate or not. Someday, the question is it
is
now?
Is it today?
Yeah. But I think there are a lot of people that would look at this who are – linebacker coaches around the country is a real good opportunity, and I think they'll do their due diligence and get somebody good. I just believe that. I always have.
Well, I did want to touch just briefly a little bit more on basketball since we are crunched for time here. But as far as next year goes, would you say at the top of the list, K-State has two scholarships, to my knowledge, available. Top of the list, trying to find a big man, whether it's a junior college big man, fifth-year transfer, you could go that route with how prevalent those are today, or number two, a point guard, potentially. Just seemed like Kamau Stokes at times struggled with being a true point guard. Could be better if he were freed up to play more at the two.
I certainly think those are the two spots, without a doubt. I think there's always first priority, second priority. And I don't think there's any doubt that the first priority will to get a big man, whether they do go the community college route or whether it is a grad transfer. That we don't have a lot of experience there in the grad transfer thing. Not that you can't do it that way, because I think there are opportunities, but the opportunities they come at a little bit of a different time. And it's becoming more of a thing now than it once was. I'm not sure how long this might last on a national basis. There are some that love it. There are some that hate it. And there are thousands in between. But that certainly, I think, is an avenue that they will look at. And who knows what the community college pipeline would have at this particular point. But I believe it's obvious that they need to go get a big man. Even though, you know, you look at Isaiah Maurice and what he did late was – showed some improvement. James Love, who didn't play this year, they hope that he will be a factor in time. I still think that is the first priority, just because they need size and depth of size. And then don't really know, but I think common sense tells you that they would like to have probably a combo guard that can be maybe more of a point guard than a two guard, but that could play both. So that's the way I would see that.
And I guess the other caveat to that is Cartier Jarrah a guy that can play the point? Is he more of a shooting guard? That's, I know, a popular guy right now to be asking about, and I saw that, you know, Kelis Robinette was talking to him a little bit. It's that time of year where you start to wonder about him. He's been practicing for a few weeks, right, with these guys now with his knee healed up.
Yeah, and I don't think he's even 100% necessarily just yet, but he has started to do more and more things. Is he more of a point than a two guard? I would say, in all honesty, probably more of a two than a one. But I think somebody like Kamau Stokes, who is more than capable of playing some point guard. But you have to have that sense that, you know, the knee is sound and he's going to be okay and good. Not that he's not today. I don't mean it that way. But he needs to be rock solid sound and somebody that the coaches can count on going into next year. And it's another spot where it wouldn't hurt to have another body. You know, it's just kind of reality. With the rest of the guys that they have coming in, I think they probably feel pretty decent about, you know, the rest of the group from the two position through the four position. So this makes the most sense from my perspective.
Yeah, and I guess I don't want to overkill the point guard thing necessarily, but the other part of it is, I mean, how often was Wes the guy playing point forward basically with the ball in his hands? I mean,
sure.
That's going to be a loss there as well, not only in the fact that it seems like in some way square peg, round hole with what you're trying to do there.
Well, it's a really
good past year.
It's a really good point because, you know, sometimes I think he did that because of a lack of a backup point guard after Cartier was hurt, or at least, you know, the potential to be a guy that could give him 10 or 15 minutes there in a backup role. And then the other is trying to take advantage of Wes's skills. That's obvious. So, you know, they won't have that now. So I think that in part is why we're talking about what we're talking about here on this Monday afternoon, that you probably need, you know, somebody there that is more than capable of giving you, you know, and it isn't just Cartier because Corby Irvin is leaving too.
Well, sure. Yes. Yeah.
So you can't not throw him in the mix there because he also was pretty good in the last month or so of the season. Real good, I think.
Yeah, no, I feel bad for leaving him out of that discussion because, again, at the end of the year when they were playing their best basketball, he was absolutely a factor.
He was a factor, no doubt.
We'll wrap up Wildcat Insider when we return, 537-1350. If you have a phone call to squeeze in before we get to pregame coverage of the K-State women coming up at 5:30. So we will go through your Twitter questions and finish things up next. You're listening to Wildcat Insider.